T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Buffalo and Columbus tonight on WGR Sports Radio 550. Check out the live stream at sabres.com. One thing I didn't mention yesterday, Marty, and again, it's not to dig too deep into a preseason game, but kudos to Buffalo's penalty kill. It's an area that I'm a little fixated on this year that has to be an awful lot better. And when you put yourself in a tough spot of a minute and a half, 5-on-3, and come out of it unscathed in a one-goal game, nicely done by all involved.
It was nicely done. And also, so late in the second period, I actually noted down who were on the ice to kill the penalties. And first of all, it started with Power and Jokiarju on the back end. Then it went to Pilot and Lyubushkin. And then it went to Dalin and Samuelson. So all six of them killed about 40 seconds each, and boom, they were out. And up front, it was Gergensen's Oposo first, Tuck and Middlestad second, and then Thompson and Weisbach third. And
well,
boom, they were done.
Well, not in the 5-on-3, it wasn't, because they only had one, and Gergensen...
No, not in the 5-on-3. I'm talking about the 5-on-4. So that's what it was. But my point is more like the Sabres have a lot of players that could go into that role if needed to. And we, last year, Don Granato used Tuck and Thompson a lot. And maybe it was to try to see if we can use certain players and put them in different situations. But I like that I saw Weisbach kill penalties yesterday. Mm-hmm. I like that I saw Middlestad kill penalties yesterday. Let's see. It's preseason. It's that trial period. Let's see what we got.
There were not a lot of power play opportunities. Both clubs went 0-for-3. Of the Sabres penalty killers who appeared in more than a minute of shorthanded time last night, Jokiarju, Pilot, Oposo, Samuelson, Power, Dahlin, Middlestad, Lyubushkin, Weisbach, Thompson, and Tuck. So considering it's only three kills, that's a lot of names on your list. And just under a minute was Gergensen. So yes, it was spread out. I believe that, and this is always, look, I mean, the greatest shorthanded goal scorers in NHL history, not currently, those would be like Marchand and Bergeron, but historically, you look at Gretzky and Lemieux, and you tie it in with the power kill mentality of not only can we kill this, what can we create for ourselves? So if you get to a point where Thompson and Tuck are really good at this, I think it just didn't, you know, it adds another layer to your game for sure. And who knows, maybe Middlestad does develop into that role.
You're going to have guys that are going to play most of the power plays, and you're going to have some guys that are going to be killing penalties.
Like Cousins is clearly, you know, a guy that should emerge as a strong penalty killer.
Nope. I would assume so. And I think that Gergensen's and Oposo obviously have that role, right? Mm-hmm. That they will go out there and kill penalties. But I'm also thinking at some point you have your top guys and you want to get them involved in the games and you want to have them feel like they're needed, not just to score goals, but to do other things in the game. And that to me is important. You pointed out like the Gretzky and Lemieux and, you know, Mark Messier and Yari Kurri and those guys, they all kill penalties. Yes, different eras, but the mentality was the same thing. I want my top guys to be involved in all aspects of the game. and be able to like go on the ice for 30 seconds, do their job, come off the ice, and then you got a 5-on-5 shift right after. You don't sit Thompson. You don't sit Tuck on the bench for two and a half, 3 minutes of the game because all of a sudden you're in penalty trouble. You can put them out there so that they keep their flow going. And then when you're back to 5-on-5, if you have a power play, they've been on the ice and they've got their legs going.
Obviously the goaltending is a big part of that. What did you think quickly of Anderson and Subban, either from a technical or just overall standpoint?
I thought Craig Anderson was very calm, which is great because that's his game. Obviously a veteran goaltenders and a veteran goaltender playing half a game, he's going to be calm. And I'm telling you, I think that the signing of Malcolm Subban for me is one that's going to be very important to the Sabres organization. I don't think that Malcolm is going to be a guy that will get many opportunities in Buffalo this year, but will give the organization some depth that they definitely need. And his play in Rochester is going to be significant. Him and UPL will have a battle in Rochester. And I thought Malcolm did a really, really good job. And I am always going to be on his team because I feel like he has a lot to give.
And we're expecting Eric Comrie tonight. Quickly on John Tortorella, as someone, Colin, asked on at Sabres Live about Torts not being behind the bench.
This is typical Torts. During preseason, he loves to at times watch it from the press box or from a suite level and kind of take his notes and see it from a different angle. And he used to do that with the Rangers when I played. Would come into the room sometimes in between periods and talk to the guys, but not be on the bench. And also it allows for his assistants to have a better feel for the bench and give him some responsibility. So I saw Torts down by the locker rooms after the game. I said, hey, I was looking for you on the bench and I figured you were hiding in the suite somewhere because you weren't on the press box. And he goes, yeah, I decided to watch it from there. I'm going to do the same thing the next game. And then when it gets down to the last two games of the regulars of the preseason, I'll be behind the bench. So something that he does, not a lot of coaches do that, but Torts has done that for a long time.
And Buffalo has been welcoming for quite a long time now to those beyond the NHL coaching staff, like Weber and Appert were on the bench again last night, right, for the Sabres?
Yeah, and I think this is going to be down to the last few days, right, for the Rochester American staff before they head back to Rochester for the training camp that will start, I would think, like, next week in Rochester next week most of the guys from
they have their preseason games on the 8th and the 9th.
Okay, so that and if you look at the way that the camp is going to go for Buffalo, they're going to start making cuts. Some of those Rochester guys will go back to Rochester. The Amherst are going to bring guys in, ECHL guys, tryout guys for their camp. But to have Pekka and Weber on the ice and Seth Appert obviously on the ice during practices and on the bench, I think it's a great experience to be able to, for Don Granato, not only to, to see how these guys work, but to see how they communicate with the players. How is that communication going on in Rochester so that they use the same language, that they teach the same things, and it helps for the organization? So I did see a couple of times Don go over to talk to Seth, you know, probably exchanging notes on certain things. So I love that they are given that opportunity.
Third and four nights for Buffalo tonight. They try to go 3-0 in the preseason as they take on the Jackets at 7.
You may have to go 6-0 tonight, 6-0 with maybe a game and a shootout again. Who knows?
See it on Sabres.com. Listen to it on WGR Sports Radio 550. Lindgren, Bloom, Komarov, Sova have been reassigned to their junior squads. Great to see Sean Malone back at practice yesterday and today sporting a normal jersey as opposed to the non-contact yesterday. So as we referenced, I think, I don't know whether it was on air or off the other day, it's been a little tough for the Malones lately.
Oh yeah.
That's post here.
Post got, is I'm on the up. IR.
So anyway, I'm just happy that Sean is back and here's hoping that he's fully ready to continue his return to prominence, because it was definitely that type of role last year in Rochester, and hopefully puts himself in a call-up position here in Buffalo.
I hope so too. And obviously want to see all the local kids, a guy that played at Nickel Schools for his prep hockey before going out to college and turning pro. So I hope for Sean Malone that he stays healthy and has a big role with the Rochester Americans. So that would be obviously very important. And yes, did I send that clip of Post Malone going through the hidden floor that slipped from underneath him and he fell into the hole? Is that the IR from Post Malone? Is that how he got hurt?
He got hurt in St. Louis. Then he continued with a few shows. Yeah. And then, yeah, I mean,
he had the Blues jersey on and he didn't realize that the floor door that he probably came out of was still open and he went right down. Man, that looked like it hurt a lot.
Yeah. So we'll see if he returns to form rather quickly. The Blues, by the way, had a good night last night. Ryan O'Reilly, who is much talked about right now because he's in the final year of his contract. He had a 3-point game. So we'll see where it goes for St. Louis. But real quick, before we do fill in the blank here, and we still want more of your asterisks, like who are you putting a notch beside heading into this game tonight as Buffalo goes up against the Jackets? I think it's fair to assume, Marty, that for good reason, people will want to see as much as humanly possible from Krebs, Paterka, and Quinn tonight.
Yeah, so this is another three that if I'm going to give out 6 or 7 or 8 asterisks for the roster tonight and guys to watch, I would think that those three, Krebs, Quinn, and Paterka, will have an asterisk and will be watched by the Sabres brass. Number one, is Krebs a for sure center this year with the Buffalo Sabres? Could they move him to the wing? Where is this fit? And I want to see more out of Peyton Krebs. I want to see the playmaking. I want to see the chances offensively. He's going to be given that opportunity tonight against Columbus. And the roster that Columbus has is one that may open up some opportunity offensively. And for Quinn and Paterka, again, like Quinn scored the tying goal in Washington and the Sabres won in an OT. But do you have sustained pressure? Are you creating chances from the start of the game all the way to the end? Or is it just one puck that comes to you and you score? I want to see more. I want to see a progression from all three of those guys, which I think would have a big role in some of the success that the Sabres will have this year. But right now, like I saw Rusek, I saw Byro, I saw Weisbach, I saw Kozak in the first game. I saw a lot more of other players that maybe I saw out of Krebs, Quinn, Paterka, and preseason number two for those guys. I want to see that step forward. So definitely an asterisk next to those guys, hopefully for good reasons.
Well, Quinn had 4 shots and 5 shot attempts in that Washington game. Unfortunately, Krebs never got any on goal, but that's not super surprising based on his pass first mentality. Yeah. And Paterka had 1 shot. Now, I don't know, because the running joke is, as Rod Brind'Amour put into perfect context in the playoffs last year, faceoffs are important until they're not. You know, look, the most important faceoff of the game is in 3-on-3 overtime. If you win that, you give yourself the first opportunity to control the play. That's actually what Buffalo did against the Capitals. But they were horrific on the draw most of that day, Krebs included in that. He only won 21% of his faceoffs. Yesterday, the Sabres were better in offensive and defensive zone faceoffs overall. They weren't very good in neutral zone faceoffs, which is a little bit of a strange quirk, but the guys who also weren't good yesterday were Gergensen's, Thompson, and Mittelstadt. So
yeah.
I don't know. How do you view this in the context? I remember Michael Pekka told us the great story about Krebs and faceoffs last year. And, you know,
recall a story, but I don't remember the details.
I think he came down from the NHL and was he not I don't want to say purposely losing them. Is that right?
There was something to, he couldn't win them. So he said, I'm going to start losing them, or some to that aspect, like purposely losing them.
But with a recovery plan, obviously in place, but it was more the details than of what Michael taught him about the mismatch that you're going to face. and how to go around it. Remember the whole talk of like how he would defend Sundin's stick
against Matt Sundin. So, I remember, you know, that. Yeah.
So all
he couldn't
kind of
outpower
stuff.
Him, so he had to do something else. Oh, and no, knowing
sorry. Sorry, it wasn't intentionally losing the draw. It was intentionally getting kicked out because his percentage was so bad. And in the playoffs last year, but Krebs constantly got tossed out of the faceoff circle. So Pekka was saying, I think he was doing it intentionally because his percentage was so bad. But anyway, what do you make of that component of the game? Or do you just think it's a natural evolution of all young players that Buffalo currently has vying for center ice position, that in time, they're all going to get better / respectable?
So I wish there was a stat that didn't only factor in the faceoff percentage, but who has the puck 5 to 10 seconds after the faceoff?
Right.
Right. So because sometimes you lose a draw, but you end up with the puck 5 or 10 seconds after, or you win a draw, but you give it away. Mm-hmm. So how about this? Let's focus on what team has the puck 5 to 10 seconds after the draw. And if you have that a very aggressive mentality and you're going to jump on their D in the offensive zone, then losing a draw in the offensive zone is not a bad thing because the puck is actually closer to their net because they win it close to the net. You attack them. You can get something else. So I wish there was a stat out there. Maybe somebody can create that, is who has possession of the puck 5 seconds after the draw or 10 seconds after the draw when it actually matters.
Fill in the blank is next on Sabres Live. Stay with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.